What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Hello.
The Texas Treat Latino Heat clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globetrotting head shotting from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
He did it. He didn't say nitro rifle. Yesterday on some show, I was like, Tim does that every once in a while too, Greg, where they just miss the nitro rifle part in the whole spiel.
This isn't great for the cadence.
It gets messed up. I don't know why, because I have it all in my head. It's memorized.
It would make sense if you ended on nitro rifle or you end on Andy Cortez, but to have them both, it's like...
Because I think of it more as like a designation. Like, I'm the globetrotting headshot and nitro rifle from twitch.tv.
But that's not a designation. Yeah, that's Andy Cortez. What you just said is like a name. A designation would be like general.
Happy to be here, everybody.
I get it. It's like ace, right? Like for a fighter pilot, mm-hmm. they call him an ace. Yeah, he's the nitro rifle.
I'll try to remember.
The fighter pilot ace, that would be the nickname we would be referring to.
You haven't even seen Top Gun.
He's an ace.
You're right. I don't watch military propaganda, all right?
Hold on. Stop.
We just sat through 3 hours of it last night.
Yeah. Let's not jump through the opposite, Greg, all right? I need you to put that away and go watch this movie, all right?
Listen, I'll only go see it if there's a dinosaur in it.
We also are joined by the big doc, Kevin Coella.
Nitro rifle.
There it is.
I'm going to try to get it in there, Andy, but there's no promises. Because you know what I mean? When I'm in the flow, I'm just trying to go. I'm just trying to get through it. And I always know. I'm like, I don't know where the nitro rifle fits here. But maybe next time. Do you think I'll nail that next time, producer/edition Nick Scarpino?
I think you will. And I think, honestly, we've just not given enough credence to Rootin' Tootin'. I don't know why we don't have that in there somewhere, but I always want to say the Rootin' Tootin' nitro rifle, and I just don't understand why you guys won't let me.
Yeah, yeah.
When one of the words could easily be shooting.
Yeah, but exactly.
Really, in this day and age, in 2022, what you want to be referred to as?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, this is kind of funny screencast. We're each and every week.
We deserve better gun laws in America.
Gumballs.
Gumballs suck forever. We should let them go. Nobody wants gumballs. We need to all vote. Did you vote yesterday? I voted yesterday.
Okay, everyone. Kind of funny screencast. It happens each and every week, sometimes multiple times a week, where we talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. And on some days, we do all three. You can, of course, go to youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com to watch them as videos. You can go to your favorite podcast service and search for Kinda Funny Screencast to listen to it as a podcast. Or you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get it ad-free and watch live as we are recording it, just like our Patreon producers Gordon McGuire, Molecule, and Fargo Brady have done. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies, but I'll talk about that later. A little housekeeping for y'all. Screencast is popping off right now. Both the Kinda Funny side and the Kinda Funny game side of Kinda Funny are popping off right now. Of course, on the game side, we got Summer Game Fest happening. So all the biggest conferences, showcases, all of that, we will be reacting on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and the youtube.com Kinda Funny Games channel. Greg, Blessing, and I are going down to LA this weekend to get our hands on a bunch of games as if it's a real E3. It's a crazy time to be alive. And we'll be posting a bunch of our impressions on all our social media and all that stuff. So stay tuned for all of that video game stuff. But over here on the entertainment side, again, we are popping off like it's no one's business. Just today, we're going to be recording this review for Miss Marvel episode 1. We're also continuing our Kenobi reviews with episode 4, and we're going to be doing a trailer reaction to Black Adam from DC. What's the line, Greg? The hierarchy of power.
The hierarchy of power in the DCEU is about to change forever. I've been listening to Roxanne for 15 fucking years, and today I'm going to see him do it.
So stay tuned for all of that stuff. And then every single week, we're going to be reacting to Kenobi to finish out the season and Miss Marvel. And who knows what else might pop up along the way. Anyways, enough of all of that stuff. Oh, last thing. You can get the Danger Zone shirt by being a patreon.com/kindoffunny platinum supporter this month. And you want to check that out because it is hot as fuck and it's designed by Cameron Kennedy. Let's get into this. The latest Disney Plus Marvel show has started. It is Miss Marvel. It's finally out. Greg Miller, what say you?
No hyperbole, like, in, you know, not even doing any Greg stuff or anything crazy. Like, I don't think I've ever loved a premiere episode of a TV show as much as I loved this. Like, I was boom, locked in the entire time. I thought it was visually stunning. I thought it was exciting to watch in terms of how they used camera angles and, you know, her and Bruno on their bikes and their imaginations running wild on the walls, the way it was shot through the lockers, the color palette. On top of that, of course, just the fact that I've loved Ms. Marvel since her debut. Obviously, I loved her in the Avengers game. I was excited to see her come here, and the stuff we'd seen early on didn't make me have low expectations of the show, but I wasn't 100% sure what we were getting. And so when I was checking my watch over and over again because I didn't want the 50 minutes to go too fast, I was like, holy shit, am I in on this? Let alone the fact of, like, I teared up in the episode. I thought it was so cool to see her family represented so well, see a Jersey City have its own distinct personality and not feel like it wasn't in the MCU, but be its own place in the MCU, which I think is so special. I thought Spider-Man, you know, Homecoming was always so great at establishing what Queens is, right? Where Spider-Man is and what's happening with that. Like, I was blown away by this episode. I'm super in. I want more so much. This is something I wish I could binge. And instead, I think it'll be probably one of the only Disney Plus show from Marvel that I'm going to watch again as soon as I can, this episode.
Moving on from Greg, let's go to Nick Scarpino.
I liked it. It was entertaining. I'm not quite as up on it as Greg is. I thought it's a fun sort of like high school retelling. I like the family dynamic a lot. I think that's the heart of the show, and I think they're going to lean into that with, you know, if you're going to tell me you got, and there's an overbearing mother who wants to keep her daughter safe, her child safe by not letting her do anything, and that hits close to home for anyone with an Italian mother as well. So, you know, I think that's a tried and true story, and I think they put a little shift on it with this one, and it's interesting to see her get her powers in this episode. The one thing I will say is I don't understand why every city doesn't have an Avengers Con. I don't understand why that's not.
I want to go to Avengers Con so bad.
In real life. I liked the production design behind that too when they walked in. You know, we'll get into the minutia, but when they walk in, you hear the Steve Rogers sort of like the old audio from that. I was like, that's a cool little touch. And of course, that's something that only a passionate person or a passionate fan of Steve Rogers would have done. So yeah, I think overall, I mean, I think the show is shot beautifully. I do love the style of it. I love that that wasn't just trailer talk that they were doing, that all those visual gags like the Scott Pilgrim stuff is in this. It's fun.
Andy Cortez.
I'm more alongside Greg. I think this show is awesome. It is a fantastic premiere. To echo what Nick was just mentioning, I love that those just weren't things in the trailer. I love that all those visual, it's very playful. It's very fun to watch, along with, I think, just Kamala is just so personable and immediately one of those actresses that you don't really notice any bad read lines of dialogue or poorly read lines of dialogue. I think she's absolutely killing it. I want to see more of this show, and I think it was such a breath of fresh air after being pretty down on Moon Knight and the last couple of MCU shows, honestly. I feel like this started off on a great foot. Love the family, love her, love the parents. I do think there's a couple of like unjustified actions by some of the characters, like the father
being
kind of
the Hulk
getting really set. Like, I thought that moment was super cute, and then her fighting against it and him being like, "You're not going." I'm just like, that's kind of, it just felt like it just wasn't super earned in that moment. But there's just tiny little nitpicks like that. I think it's, yeah, incredibly well shot. I love how playful not only all the visual effects are and the motion graphics, but also just the camera work. Really fun to watch. I loved seeing their text conversation with her and Bruno, and it having that sort of baby driver, you know, the conversations are all over the environment as you're kind of walking along with them. I think it's cute as shit. I think she's so endearing, and it's just a fun show so far, and I'm excited that I feel this way about a Marvel show again, which I said about episode one of Moon Knight, but I'm stoked to continue watching this.
Big Kev Dog.
Yeah, I'm legit blown away that so much of what we saw in the trailer is in this first episode, like all the background stuff and her using her imagination that way. I think it gives such a fun vibe to the show. The family relationship is incredible. I feel like it's so much of it hits very close to home of like, oh yeah, this reminds me of my family. And I actually really like the dad getting upset. I mean, it's a bit of an overreaction, but I think that that's, you know, kind of what happens when you like hurt someone's feelings.
Hurt your family, right? And I think it's backed up, right, by immediately having the conversation with Bruno on the rooftop of like, I think I made my dad cry. Like, right, his, you're not going, and especially for it being so meek. Of you're not going is, I think, him trying to hold it together, right? But the way that actor as Abu plays the pain, I was like, oh my God.
Even like them trying to like making her a costume and him coming in and them being like, look, I'm the big Hulk and you're the little Hulk. And it's just like, that's not a thing. That, you know, that like that whole dynamic that was such a good scene that like seems so reminiscent of something from my childhood.
Me too, Kevin. I think that's the thing. I mean, like, I think you go back to that, right? And especially as a kid, I think you never understand that, right? You're so caught up in what you want and how you see it going to, you know, be on that parent side of it right there and see that, the mom made these costumes. The dad painted himself green. Like, you know what I mean? They're trying to go in above and beyond to meet you halfway, but they're not having that conversation about meeting you halfway. So then you shoot off at the mouth. I've done that to my parents, right? Like, I didn't even think about it at the time.
But yeah, I mean, overall, this episode was a lot of fun. And like, honestly, I'm super excited for this season. This is, I've been vocal about not liking Moon Knight or like What If and just kind of being okay with some other shows. But like, to me, this gives me a lot of what Hawkeye did, where it's like, this is fun chemistry and I like all the actors that they've chosen. So like, I'm all in. I hope this story is fun. I'm excited that they so quickly were like, this is her power set. Like, this is she's found it. She's wearing the bracelet. She's using it. And we got the did you guys see the post credit scene?
Oh yeah.
Like, cool. Right. I can't remember who that kid
Stewie.
Is.
Stewie.
Yeah.
Stewie.
I know the actor, but like I can't remember what he
was. He was in far. He was in No Way Home.
He's the one who took Spider-Man in and all his little cronies. Okay. Yeah. Damage. Right.
Yeah. Tim, how do you feel about it?
Oh, this is so incredibly my shit. I feel like this is, in a lot of ways, it's not like it's anything we haven't seen before, but I think it's a really good TV version of so many elements and things that I love. Like, I feel like it's not quite Edgar Wright. It's more Edgar Light. That was for you, Andy. But like, I think that kind of fits what this is. Like, it kind of feels like all the more fantastical elements fit the vibe of this being like a high school kind of girl and her friend's story, as opposed to it being like superhero first. Like the fantastical elements aren't necessarily like really happening or not really happening. It's more just kind of how she's experiencing things, and I think that they do a great job with that because the story is so focused on her and how she sees the world. And this is not our world. This is
she's
the
a
world.
Daydreamer,
I mean, in some ways, this is our world. It's a world that has had 10 plus years of the Avengers and what that means and how generations are growing up now with these superheroes, them in the real world, us in movie form. But I think that it's really cool to the way the episode opened with her being a YouTuber and like her conspiracy theory videos on Thor's a gamer, like very smart nods to things we know from the MCU in the past, while feeling really believable and feeling like this could just be its own standalone thing where she, Amon has such presence as Miss Marvel. I think that she's really knocking out of the park. Like when we first started seeing pictures of her, I was like, I'm not sure that this is going to be right. And I was absolutely wrong, man. Like she has so much just kind of like charisma that I want to see her succeed. And like I've now seen her in one episode. And unlike most of the other Disney Plus shows, we know the pipeline of where she's going to end up. We know we're going to see her in a movie next year, early next year in the Marvels. And I think that that's really cool because last time we had that was Wanda in WandaVision, and we knew the next time we were going to see her was Doctor Strange. But because of delays, because of pandemic stuff, that ended up being a mega gap. Whereas here, it's like this is kind of like introducing us to her and then teeing her up to get her big picture debut. Andy?
And I've mentioned this before, but she's got that, she's sipping on that same sauce that Hailee Steinfeld sipping on and that Tom Holland was sipping on when we were introduced to him, where it's like, this is a young actor that you're immediately kind of, you know, I don't know if I trust them to be in this role quite yet. And immediately you're bought in. They sell you on it because they're talented and they're really good at just being likable on screen. I thought that was a great sort of line that in a way kind of just... was an analogy to the actual show where Bruno's telling her, you got to put your own spin on Captain Marvel. You got to put your own spin on it. And in a way, I was like, all of these visual flourishes and everything, you're putting a spin on what your Disney Plus show is, because I think it needed somewhat of an extra element to kind of make it stand out and be a little bit more special. And I'm so glad that they went full in with it. I was hoping that it was not going to be half-assed in any way, or I was really hoping it was going to be there at all in any capacity. But to see how far they went with it, I thought it was eye candy. It's fun to watch, and the people you're watching acting are just really enjoyable to sort of see them interact with each other.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to say is I love how this feels the most modern of MCU property that we've had. And I think that that's via use of music a lot, like opening with The Weeknd. Like it's very much like time and place, where we've gotten like the retro stuff before, and we have gotten some things that feel a bit more modern, but this really feels like she is in the now dealing with superheroes in her world. And like Greg was saying, it gives Jersey this kind of like different vibe that's same but different, same but a little lesser than to the New York that we're kind of used to. And I think that that is something that the comic does really well. And two things that I'm extremely impressed and excited about is this so far is doing my favorite Marvel Studios thing, which is delivering what is necessary from the comics, but changing enough that it's not just the exact same thing that I read 10 years ago. Sure. And so far they're really nailing that aspect of it. And also they're nailing what you guys have kind of alluded to, but we saw the trailers. We weren't sure if they were actually going to deliver that style in the show. And I am super stoked that not only are they delivering on it, it's not all the same stuff from the trailers. Like so much of the trailer stuff was trailer specific. And then seeing it in context here, it's like completely different animations, completely different vibes for the story they're telling. And like, yeah, I'm super into it so far.
Especially when they're walking in that little parking lot and you see it on the wall and the story that they're trying to tell.
Versions of Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that was a great little addition of her saying maybe I could be Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel, or whatever. Ooh. I thought it's just such a fun show to watch.
Well, I think also, what's so strong about it too is just go ahead, Tim.
Just real quick, I want to tell you about our sponsors.
Tim, what Greg I want to tell you about, what I want to tell you about, Tim, is something you were talking about in your monologue there, of the fact that it is so good without the superhero stuff. You know what I mean? Like just her from the moment this show kicks off and introducing and doing such a great job of being a 2022 Kamala, of her making the YouTube videos and using her art and her animation shit and the way her room looks and yada yada. But like just going, like I was like, I would watch the entire series of this. Just she is a superhero fangirl in school and what's that look like with her, you know, friend group and enemy group and everything else that's going on around it. Like I thought that was so strong. I wasn't sitting there going, all right, get your powers. All right, get your powers. Do whatever you're going to do, right? Like, I was excited when she did. I thought it was fucking insane when the girl got hit by Thor's hammer and got spun in the back. Jen and I both went, oh, shit. Like, she's the dead. Iron Man head was, or the Ant-Man head was rolling. You're like, all right, well, they're going to be okay. Maybe somebody gets hurt. Fucking Thor's hammer is throwing this girl around. I was like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, I think the supporting cast around her is so great. Her family is so great. Her brother being both the older brother, but the supportive brother, you know what I mean? Going to bat for her, the way her family does. Like, I think her mom's hilarious when she's like, I wrote it down. Talking about her mom, like, she doesn't want to die before passing on all her junk to us. Like, I was like, that's such a good fucking line.
Nick, did the black sloth down line make you laugh?
That did make me laugh. And I like, there was another line in it that where he was like, you don't want to fall into the Hudson for a third time. And she's like, no, it was the second time. He goes, no, this, you did it twice or something like that. I like that a lot of that, by the way, that you're seeing a lot of that fandom mirrored in when she goes to the convention and she gets up on stage for the cosplay competition. And there's actually a lot of legit other cool takes on Captain Marvel. And some of, like, some people did it like legit, like I guess the antagonist. It's not really though, because I forget
the girl's school or whatever.
Yeah, but she's not. I mean, but traditionally that would be the antagonist. That would be the person who's like,
I think
the archetype of what's that?
I wouldn't be shocked if they're setting her up to like become like a friend.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
it's,
that's what
it's,
I'm saying.
It's obvious from the get go. Yeah,
this like, was, if this was a 1990s high school movie, this person would be just a one dimensional bully. But in this one, she's kind of just fine. I mean, they have that interaction where she's like, I like your jacket. And she goes, I like your necklace. Like there's not really an antagonist in this other than the mother, which I'm curious. They have to introduce one at some point because the conflict between the mother and the daughter is going to run thin probably in the next couple episodes for me.
There was a light tease towards the antagonist for people that have read the comics. This is the slightest thing ever. But when they're on the ceiling or on the roof of a building, mm-hmm. there's like a sign that says Edison Electrics. Mm-hmm. And Edison is one of the first villains of Ms. Marvel. So I wonder, I don't think that's the direction they're going with this, but maybe.
They also have the two people, the two agents that are going to come into the fray at some points. But that's one of the things, like, I like the dynamics. I like that we set up all the characters in this. I do think that, like, this is a different spin on a very, very tried and true story. And tried and true stories start to wear thin for me very quickly with a lot of these Marvel shows. So I'm curious to see if they can keep my attention, given all the visual stuff, which is cool. But 4 episodes from now, if that's basically the main hook of the series, they're going to need to do a lot more to keep my attention.
I'm super glad that they did immediately kind of prepare us for the fact that Bruno is a whiz kid, and it's not something that I think that is something that helps out. It's easier to do when you have a side character, when you don't have to fully flesh them out in any way, and you can just kind of say, every time you see this kid, he's doing something mechanical. He's helping out Kamala's dad with his stuff, or he's at home with his computers all around him. He's like, he's so perfectly set up to be the guy in the chair that it's made to be believable. Without, like, I don't foresee a moment where I'm going to go, oh, come on, how the fuck do you know how to do that? Kids from Jurassic Park who put together a car after 30 years of not running. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jurassic World. And I like that they had the sort of, like, he has that functional knowledge, right? He makes the Alexa machine that he puts in the middle of the house, and it doesn't work great, but it's there. It's good. You know, it's like he's still figuring all this stuff
out. Well, is that him or is it Abu? Because Abu is like saying such a weird way of TV, switch. Like, he's not saying turn on the TV. You know what I mean? I thought it was more maybe the dad just not using the simple commands and getting
possibly, yeah. But I mean, even the device itself is very, like, kind of janky, homemade looking.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That speaks a lot to him. And I like their dynamic. I will say, like, to criticize the show a little bit, some of the line deliveries for me didn't quite hit, and I know you guys are pretty keen on the two characters, but there's a couple back and forths where I'm like, there's a way when you let your high school age actors or like young actors talk like high schoolers, that can add authenticity to it. But if you push it too far for me, it starts to kind of get a little muddled. And there was a couple instances where I had to roll it back and put the subtitles on because they were speaking so quickly to each other and over each other that I was missing what I thought was important moments of dialogue. But those were only a couple moments here and there. But I did like that she lays out the sort of Baby Driver Scott Pilgrim plan. And then when she goes out her window, just thought maybe she just grabs the brush and falls on her ass.
There's also a great comedic beat to be like, you want to take the bus.
Your plan is to take the bus. That's what you took away from this?
Yeah.
I also love that, like, we get constant updates on how the plan is being fucked up and how the time is like gets so crossed out and it's like, oh, it's 20 minutes later. Yeah.
Yeah, there was also that hectic couple weeks montage that was reminiscent of the Hawkeye one we got, where it's like, how'd you lose your hearing? He's like, I don't know. And it was like, bah, 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 of all the different things. And this did this, a similar thing. I really liked setting up her character and, like, I think pushing the show a little further than I expected it to so quickly with her, like, driving test and, like, immediately backing the car up as, like, ridiculously as she did. Like, I liked that because I didn't see that coming. Like, I thought it was going to be more of
stupid hijinks.
Sorry, to me, that's the only place in the, I think there might have been one other place, but I can't recall exactly what it is, where it was like, ooh, this makes it like, this is like a shitty TV show vibes. Cause it's like, no one would floor it into reverse. Like, and I'm sure like best friends are out there like, oh, it happened to my friend or something. But like,
your friends are stupid.
Yeah. Like, that's not how you, like, you don't floor, especially when, like, she was doing the DMV test, right?
Yeah,
like, it wasn't
a driver's test,
or wasn't just like a class.
No, I imagine that's her. That was they made a big deal.
They had
out
the clipboard, right?
Today is the day I'm getting my license.
Yeah,
and then I can drive around and help out with the wedding.
At this point, she's like, she should be done learning, right? She's taking the test. I think it just like I don't like it when characters do things that are just so far fetched and unrealistic. And I think shooting back like that is just like, all right, okay.
Well, that was my reaction.
I enjoyed it because I thought her performance earned it. Like, I think that kind of, like, revving up for it. And, like, I think she's got over angsty and, like, did the wrong thing. And, like, she shouldn't have done that going forward either. But I think it's kind of – I think that did a good job of showing, like, who she is as a character at this point and the fact that she is a very young girl.
I think they could have done it where, like, she pulls forward just a little too fast and a car clips the her side mirror or something. Mm-hmm. I think that would have done the same thing and not been as absurd as, like, flooring it in reverse.
Yeah, but you don't get the comedic beat where she was like, She, because look,
yeah,
listen,
we can run.
I'm a child of the 80s. Anytime any character in a movie goes, today is the day I'm gonna get my license. Guys, spoilers, 100% of the time, they're not going to get their license that day.
I can't believe today wasn't the day I got my license.
Exactly, right? Like, this gives me the two Corey's vibes of License to Drive, where he's like, and the whole movie was about getting a license, and then spoilers, he doesn't get his license, has to steal his parents' car. Oh my God, shocking, right? But I do, so the second they started talking, I was like, okay, she's not going to get her license here, and this is going to be a main, you know, one of the main points of conflict for this episode, which it was, which is why they had to take the bus, which is good.
We can run.
But I do like, I do like the line delivery. She's like, she bangs at the car, she goes, nobody saw. And the guy goes, that's my car. Which I thought was pretty funny. And then you know, it's backed up by the, listen, again, you want to talk about overprotective mothers. This is such an Elena Scarpino moment where she's clearly knows that I'm the one that screwed up, but she's blaming the driving instructor. Why would you take her on the road with other cars? why would you do that? You know better than that. So I love that moment, and I think that strengthened the family dynamic a little bit too. But I'm kind of with I forget who it was that was talking. Oh, Andy, I think you were talking about the dad moment that was a little unearned. I did think that was a bit forced, only because I don't think they would have been, it wasn't believable to me that they were cognizant enough about what an Avengers Con was that they would go that far with it. I could have seen them going one step or two, like wanting to, I think it would have been enough for her to be like, he just wants to chaperone her to the thing. But it's weird to me that the parents went from like, we don't understand what this Avengers Con thing is to, we now have an understanding of Hulk cosplay. We had time to make two cosplay costumes and now we're all in. It just kind of felt like, it felt like they pushed it to an extreme to get that reaction, to get the opposite reaction when she rebuffs him. And I felt like they could have dialed that back a little bit. I don't think they need to go that far.
Because honestly, it's a TV show, but I also think that's how parenting works sometimes.
Yeah,
right?
but what, like, you're talking about,
they understood
is
what cosplay was. When I expected there to be a lame joke when she was like explaining to them and like, there's gonna be a cosplay. What's cosplay? Blah. Like, they understood that, and she, you know, the mom had referenced Cosmic before, or maybe it was after, but it doesn't matter. Like, they again live in the Avengers world. They know who the Avengers are. Like,
yeah, of course, because the Avengers are real characters in this. What I'm saying is, you don't need to go that far to have the dad get, like, it just seemed weird that the dad was suddenly excited to do cosplay.
When they
painted him as an not out of touch dad, but just sort of like, it didn't really take a ton of an interest in that side of his daughter's, you know, personality. Yeah. And I don't think they needed to do that, because what we're all talking about is the moment where your parents want to do something with you or chaperone or supervise you as a child, and you push back and say, no, that's embarrassing, and you can't vocalize because I'm becoming an adult now and I don't want you to have that oversight over my life anymore, which that they did nail that vibe, but I don't think they needed to push it so far as the dad walking in completely green.
I know you have your hand up, Tim, but I just want to say, like, and I think maybe it comes from, I don't know, knowing the source material, and I'm not trying to play that fucking card or anything. I just think that Abu's a really good dad. Like, I don't think the show presented him before of not having an interest in it. He's just, you know, aloof and dad-like and doesn't understand technology. But I think when the brother pulls them aside and is like, listen, this is important to her. Like, they go from 0 to 100, right? And it's zero of like, no, you can't fucking go, we don't trust people, to, all right, we want to be part of your lives. We're trying to be supportive parents. Your mother, who doesn't care about superheroes or whatever, is trying to integrate our culture into this and do something in a way she would put it through her lens. Dad is a fun dad. He's going to be a dad about it. And yeah, go smash and be Hulk or whatever. But like, I don't know, I found the whole thing very endearing. It didn't take me out of it at all. I was like, oh man, these guys are really fucking trying as parents.
It was really only the line of him saying, you're not going. That's like the only, like, I feel like she wasn't even that hard on him, just like, this is embarrassing, this is like humiliating. And then him gets out and be like, you know what, I'm sorry, yes, let's go, let's all go. But for the dad to just be like, no, we're not going anymore. Like, that's the only line that took me out. Tim, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, Greg mostly said what I was saying, but I liked how that scene played, only because it came after the scene of her having the, like, asking the parents at night if she can go, and then her having her little tantrum about, if my brother was asking, you'd let him go. And like, it's building up that they listen and they revere the brother way more than they do her, and how unfair that is. And I think that having the lines of like, yeah, your brother talked to us and whatever, I think that it serves two functions. One, showing that like, they do care about her, and also like, hey, we kind of messed up here, so we're going a little overboard to kind of like show you that we don't just care about your brother. But also it shows that they do care about them as a family and care about the brother and trust him and are going to listen to him, even if it's something that they don't vibe with.
And it,
through their practices.
Andy's point from a second ago, you didn't think the line was that devastating. I just went back to it, right? Like, remember, like, they've gone above and beyond. They've made these costumes. Dad's painted himself green. They're trying. They think they're doing the right thing. And she says it's humiliating, right? That dad's humiliating. And, like, dad didn't think he was being humiliating. He thought he was being a fucking awesome dad, and this is something that would be well-received. Like, I understand his, and I think the way his face immediately switches to pain when she says that worked for me.
I want to talk about Avengers Con. That was dope. They did a pretty damn good job with it. It's funny having no Spider-Man, obviously, because of rights reasons, which is interesting that they can have the Department of Defense guy or whatever it's called. The damage control. Guy, because, like, as far as I understood, characters that originated in Sony Pictures can't go do Marvel stuff, but I guess this is proof that that's not true. So that's cool. But the Avengers Con, I thought, was really cool. All the fun little Easter eggs and stuff, like the America's Ass little prints, and like so showing like the sacrifice thing that the people don't just talk about Tony. There also is the Black Widow love as well. And like the merch, that there was actual Ant-Man and the Wasp merch, like that looked exactly with the same logo of the movie.
Like, it was just like a toy.
I love it.
They just went to Target and bought some toys.
And our boy Agent M running a cosplay competition. Let's fucking go.
Ryan, come on.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's awesome.
I was gonna say, I remember, yeah, I saw that guy. I was like, I know this guy. I can't put a finger on what it is. That's cool that they got him in this.
I wanted to, if we're done talking about AvengerCon, I just want to talk really quickly about the mom sort of noticing the bracer, and being like, that's not for you, that's trash, or whatever, you know, like, this is a hand-me-down from grandma, but this is nothing to worry, that you should be worried about. And what do we not know? Does mom know that this is some magical power thing? Is this something from the source material, or
also them talking about the grandma being like, oh, she's crazy, you know, she like threw her life away, she tried to follow her dreams, right? Is that what they said?
And remember at the very end in the confrontation when she's yelling at Kamala, she's like, I've seen what happens to people when they get obsessed with their fantasies. And she cuts her off. Kamala cuts her off. But from what she's actually about to say, is like, I know what you're going to say. And I forget what she's, oh, you know what I'm going to say. And I think that was a tease to what's happened with the bracelet.
Yeah. Cause Andy, to answer your question, in the comics, like, she's a inhuman, and it's a whole Terrigen Mists and all this stuff. And they're definitely not going with that, at least from the get-go. They might retcon it eventually, or like build us up and then have like a switcheroo at some point. But it seems like they're going with a completely different origin story for her to kind of, I think, fit culturally a little bit better. And also with the modern state of Marvel, where the Inhumans aren't, they're not going all in on them because they have the X-Men back. So we'll see how that all plays out. But also, her power set is different than from the comics because of the Inhuman side of things. But I think that they're going to work it in that it is a family situation, that is a relic that her grandma or somebody in her family was at least aware of at some point, and that there are some powers involved. Because they mentioned the genies.
Yeah.
In this episode. And like, I know that during the press interviews and stuff, they've been talking a lot about how the powers are not going to be from the Terrigen Mist, but it might be more like genie focused. So that could be interesting.
It kind of reminds me of sort of the hints that we got about magical properties inside of the Ten Rings, and where their origins are from, and how they have no idea that, you know, where these came from or whatever. I like the power set. I know that's still one, a lot of people's biggest complaint is that it's not the stretchy stuff. But I love the color scheme. I love the purple vibe. And when she first gets powered up and then her eyes, like, I had chills. I was like, oh, shit, this is like pretty sick. And then her kind of falling backwards with that, you know, we saw that shot several times in this first episode of her, like, falling back with the camera. But, yeah, I think it looked really cool. I think it her trying to get back up on the second floor and using the little platform that popped up underneath her. It's really, I dig it. I'm pretty into it.
I also think that, like, one of the first times we see her use her powers, it looks like she embiggens her hand, right?
Yeah.
When she goes to catch the girl in the more comic.
It stretches actors. As well. Like, it's like a.
It stretches and it makes her hand huge, it seems like. And it's, for a moment when I was watching, I was like, oh, she embiggened.
Nick, I have a question for you.
Sure.
When you hear the word Terrigen Mist, Do you think of the one phrase from Jurassic Park 1 that they mentioned that you didn't know was going to be a part of the movie? And I can't think of the phrase.
The Lythogen contingency or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
As soon as you said Terrigen Mist, I was like, isn't that from Jurassic Park?
But no, I hear Terrigen Mist, and for whatever reason, I think it's a quasi like a diet beverage.
Oh, okay. Mist, yeah. You know? It sounds like a Tom Clancy novel to me.
Yeah, Terrigen Mist. It's totally the MacGuffin. I love it. Where it's like, they got the Terrigen Mist. And then Ethan Hunt's like, oh, we got to let them get the Terrigen Mist because that's how we catch them by not letting
getting
them
disavowed. Like,
oh, Nick, it was basically that. Yeah. Like, it really was just the MacGuffin.
I really like the rest of the
show, Tim.
Go for it, Eddie.
What do you want to see from the rest of the show? Because I feel like you and Greg probably have the most knowledge on this character and kind of where she goes in the comics. What can we kind of expect?
My biggest concern for the rest of the show is the antagonist. Like, that is something that the trailers, it's the one thing that from the trailers where I'm like, ugh, there's that shot they keep showing of like four people and there's just smoke all around them. And like, it has that CW vibe to me. And it's not clear after one episode, like, what exactly the opposing force is going to be. If it's going to be the damage control people, that could be interesting. I actually like the stakes of that. And it kind of being like a smaller thing. Cause I think that if they get too wild and crazy with it, might not work, especially with the limited runtime that we have of just 5 episodes left here. But yeah, I think if they keep it more like personal and related to like the characters they're building, like that's what I'd like to see. Because my favorite thing going so far for it is the character dynamics and the humor of it all, where I like that her relationship with Bruno and her other group of friends, like there's like the quick back and forth, the high school stuff kind of that Nick was talking about. But like, even the mom is funny. It's like she has lines where it's like she trusts you. No, I don't trust you.
Love
no,
that.
You do though. No, I don't. You know, it's like that stuff I thought was good and not something I expect from a MCU mom necessarily. So I thought that's great. So I'm hoping we get more of that. And I hope that the antagonistic force of this is more family dynamics as opposed to like, please just don't give us a fucking light beam in the sky. Please don't for this show. Greg?
Yeah, you nail it. I think, you know, what I want from this show based on episode one, even, you know, having read before him is Marvel. Like, I want this. How many episodes is this going to be, Tim?
6.
6? Awesome. I want them all to be as good as this one was in terms of presentation style, character development. And I think, yeah, her being like a fugitive or whatever you want to call it, being on damage control's radar and them trying to hunt her down, her trying to stop like, you know, armed robberies in the town and yada yada, that'd be interesting. I'm very interested, like you said, about what the powers are and where we're going. When she puts on the bracelet, right, and she goes back, it looks like she goes into another realm similar to like a Black Panther thing.
Yeah.
I'm very interested. Yeah. I assume, again, planes. You know, to jump around again, this is Nanny stuff, right? We talk about at the end, you know, oh, you're just going to tell me some story about Nanny. Is that what you think I was going to do? Like, I think eventually, yeah, I think the mom knows more about the bracelet than she's letting on. I think Nanny obviously has something with this thing, and I want to know what realm that's bringing them into and what the history is behind that. And I would imagine your villain will come somewhere from that, right? Of somehow connected to that and going, like, I don't want them to double down on the inventor or whatever. Like, I'm not looking for that kind of thing. Like, I don't mind if that's a side thing going on that's getting her on damage control's radar. She's trying to solve the crimes that are happening in the city or whatever. But I'm more interested in what's going on there and more interested in the family dynamics and how, you know, we've seen it on different ways and different interpretations if she tells her family or how she tells her family or, you know, what goes on with that. Is it going to be secret identity again if the bracelet's seen and it has a connection to the family? Is her mom going to know and how is that going to be? Like, there's a lot of interesting stuff there. I'm more interested, again, like Tim just said, a small story. Let's keep it to Jersey City and see what's going on. Although a big part of Ms. Marvel in the comics always is the cameos in meeting the heroes and doing that kind of stuff. I'm not setting off from the beginning here of like, I'd love to see that because obviously that's what the Marvels will be like meeting Carol, I'm sure, unless that's going to be like an Easter egg end credit scene for the final episode. But I'd be interested to see her run into some lower tier MCU person. Love the shout out, by the way, of Scott Lang's podcast that he's been on a lot of.
So fucking funny. And that explains so much about how people know how the Endgame battle went. Like, yeah, it's a lot of those types of little things of like Scott
America's
was
there.
He told the story, so
yeah, America's Andy? Ass. That was like the one sort of reference. I was like, how does anybody know that? I think it's before I said America's ass, I had a thread I want to go off of. Oh my god, I'm losing it. It's gone. Scott it's Lang. Gone, everybody. It's fucking gone. No, it's gone. I'm
Greg, sorry.
The ancestral plane. Yeah.
the inventor that you mentioned, that's Edison.
Oh, I know.
So that, yeah, okay, cool. Just making sure.
I wasn't
yeah,
saying that for them. I didn't know how much we wanted to talk about the comic. Nah, so.
But like that could be interesting. I think it's too late after one episode, but of a 6-episode series, I think it's too late to build to that character.
And yet. I hope they don't. Again, yeah, like I really, totally. I mean, unless it was just a background thing that's happening and he's totally just like.
Yeah, that's like a season 2 thing for me. Yeah. But Andy?
We've only had to deal with like one character, which is Spider-Man with hiding your hiding who you are, your identity. And I feel like we've experienced it enough in movies where it's like, there's no way people don't know who that is. But like, there's no way people won't know that this is her, right? Like, she's on plenty of camera phones. You shooting well, purple
shit.
She's
got a helmet on right now.
You got to suspend your disbelief. Yes, of course there'd be a camera phone filming the entire thing wide angle that would have seen her and Bruno get up there. No helmet on. She puts the helmet on and walks on. You got to suspend your disbelief on that.
Yeah, without spoiling the future of it, it's like I think they're going to handle this well, I imagine, in the show, especially in the like Marvel Studios version of it. But in the comics, the way they kind of got around that in the earlier issues is because of the powers she got from the Terrigen Mist from Jurassic Park, Nick, the contingency, of course, like she actually changed forms. Like, so she looked like Captain Marvel.
Hmm.
For okay. a little bit. Like she like it would like totally change how she looked, and like that started stopping eventually. So they're gonna handle it well. They're gonna address what you're talking about in a way like pretty head on, I imagine. And I think they're gonna do it sooner than later once she really gets going, like doing actual superhero stuff.
Cool.
The last thing we talked about it a little bit, but there's two moments that were right back to back in this that I fucking loved and made me laugh really hard, and they were so fucking stupid, and I don't think they could have worked in most shows. And that was Ant-Man's head rolling an impossibly long time.
The amount
of shots we got of that thing fucking rolling, I thought was so funny. And for it to be bookended with the girl with Zoe getting fucking demolished by the giant Mjolnir,
that would have killed her. Yeah,
but that's all the thing to me where I'm like, it only works for me because the rest of the vibe has these fantastical elements and like the Scott Pilgrim-y stuff where it's like, it could have not been that extreme. It could have like that just been how she's feeling about it all. But I thought as a viewer, they presented it in a way that I thought was really funny. And I think they intended it to be funny, not laughing at it, laughing with it, you know?
I'll disagree with you there, Tim. I think that they just wanted it to look more dire. And it's possible that we're supposed to be seeing it through Kamala's eyes and sort of her perspective. But I was just more bothered by the crowd's non-reaction to all of this happening. Nobody else knew. Nobody else knew that all this chaos was happening. So that's the one thing that kind of threw me off. They're like, guys, this gigantic fucking helmet just fell off. And it's on a rampage. It's on a war.
Someone has been hurt.
It rolled for so long that if I was in that audience, I'd be like, I think it has a mind of its own.
I think
this thing has its has some motivations that we haven't figured out yet. Yeah, the Thor's hammer coming. I was like, that we could have dialed that back just a little bit because it looked like an old, like, you know, in like 90s or like early 2000s movies where they couldn't do the effect right, so they did it super slow and then they sped it up later, and it just has that weird zany like effect of having it just be like, oh, that was kind of weird. It came out of nowhere. I was like, that's totally a little bit weird for me.
I think everyone thought like, oh, she's dead, because that like
it didn't just hit her,
it like hit her and she like flew off.
Yeah.
It reminded me so much of the Jackass the Giant Hand. Yes.
Yeah.
No, it reminded me of Jackass the Giant Hand, or when they did the conveyor belts when they were in the suits.
Oh my
the
God,
swings,
that
they were just
so
kicking
painful.
People off. But the difference is those guys are stunt guys. They know to jump. She didn't know to jump. That thing hit her full on. Yeah, the legs planted into the ground. I was like, wow, that was one of those moments where I think we would have done a second take on that or re-envisioned that somehow, because you got to imagine that swinging hammer's got to be a few hundred pounds, right?
Well, I mean, at what they should have done is should have been like plastic and paper. And like it should have like torn into her when it hit her, and just been like, "Oh, that's so funny, it stopped." But yeah, the Ant-Man's head, just like, why didn't she stop it? Like, why didn't her
powers
think...
were yet, right? That's what I was taking out of this. She didn't know what just happened. Yeah.
But I mean, honestly,
they just kept going and they cut to it three times. And it's like,
this is fucking destroying display after display.
Honestly, it's one of those things where I full on expected the post credit sequence that it cuts and then it's just a lone street and the head just rolls down.
Still going, dude.
That would have been awesome.
Oh, I love it. Well, let us know in the comments below what you thought of Ms. Marvel Episode 1. We will be reacting each and every week as the show premieres. And joining us next week, and hopefully for all of them, Timur Hussein will be joining us. And I'm very excited about that. He couldn't make it today because he's already down in LA for some Summer Game Fest goodness. Like I was saying earlier, Summer Game Fest is happening. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. And so much entertainment stuff's happening. The Stranger Things 4 Part 1 reviews also up. You can go check that out on screencast, youtube.com/kindoffunny. Thank you all for rocking with us. Till next time, love you. Bye.